Members of Congress say they're confused by the Coast Guard's plan to modernize and rebuild its aging fleet. The Coast Guard has a history of making some misguided and expensive budget decisions. Now, in the middle of appropriation season, Congress doesn't want the service to repeat past mistakes. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco.
The Coast Guard is still having some trouble deciding if it has the right resources for the right missions at the right time. And the service's long history of poor budget mistakes has a chance of repeating itself. That's according to the Government Accountability Office. That's not what Congress particularly wants to hear right now. It's in the middle of making some key appropriations decisions for the service in fiscal 2017. The Coast Guard had an estimate for what kinds of resources it will need and how much it will cost. The original estimate dates back to 2007. It's part of the service's recapitalization plan to rebuild and replace some of its aging vessels and aircraft. The service has been working on that plan for the last 30 years. But GAO says that estimate is out of date. A lot's changed since 2007. The Coast Guard acquired 14 C-27J aircraft from the Air Force. Congress approved funding for a ninth national security cutter. And the original plan to start using more unmanned aerial systems, well, the Coast Guard says that's not happening anytime soon. Admiral Charles Michel is the Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard. He says the service will update that plan with a new fleet mix analysis next month. But Congress is still confused by what the service is asking for and how exactly the Coast Guard says it will deploy its resources to meet 11 different missions. John Garamendi is the ranking member of the House Transportation Infrastructure, Coast Guard, and Maritime Transportation Subcommittee.
I see my task as basically choices. And it is not clear to me what the Coast Guard would like to have. There's this thing called need to and like to. I'm going to the need to.
The Coast Guard could get its biggest acquisition budget in its history next year if Congress gives the service everything it asked for. The big ticket item is $147 million for a new heavy icebreaker. Michelle says the Coast Guard needs at least two of them, preferably three. It has one now, and it takes at least 10 years to build a new icebreaker. He says it's a big priority because the service can't access areas of the Arctic now that it should. But Subcommittee Chairman Duncan Hunter has a different take. He suggests that if it's taken the Coast Guard this long to build a heavy icebreaker, maybe the Navy should do it instead.
Wars don't come on our acquisition timelines. Wars don't match our 12-year outlook. Wars happen when they happen, and right now we're not prepared for one. This is a big gap. This is why the Navy's looking at this finally. This is why the Senate just put in $1 billion. This is why the House, the stingy House, just appropriated $150 million.
Congress is also considering a plan to add a 10th national security cutter, two more than the Coast Guard's original call for eight. Ranking Member Garamendi.
That changes your force structure, your person power, and your budgeting. Should we go there at all? Should we simply say that nine is quite enough? The 10th is a ship too far, too much?
Vice Commandant Michel.
Obviously, you know, if the Congress provides us with national security cutters, we'll do our best to put them to good use. They're a great ship. They're delivering incredible results out there, but those are beyond the program of record. And right now, my number one recapitalization priority, despite my urgency on the heavy icebreakers, which is, you know, another one of the burning fires I have to deal with, is the offshore patrol cutter. And that is our number one recapitalization priority. And we need assistance from the Congress on the $100 million in long lead time materials in FY17 for the offshore patrol cutter. That's where my focus is right now. Again, if Congress gives us the national security cutters, we will try to make them work. They are beyond our program of record. They are much more expensive to operate than the offshore patrol cutter is going to be.
Congress is also worried that the Coast Guard isn't taking full advantage of unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, and it wonders why the service is putting off its original plan to begin using them. Michelle says he's interested, and the Coast Guard is doing a review of the options that are out there for UAVs. But Chairman Hunter says that's a waste of time.
When it comes to the unmanned aerial systems, any way that we can help you leverage your current assets, that's what UAS does. It helps you leverage what you have. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it makes the rest of your assets that much better at what they do. Because instead of having to use a helicopter or a C-130, you can send that out there, and you can do reconnaissance, you can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, massive leveraging of your assets, right? We just want to get there in this lifetime, on budget and on time. And anything that we can do to help you, we will do, but we need to know from you what you want. And I know you're doing analysis, but it's not like unmanned aerial systems are new.
He says there are plenty of capabilities already out there.
These systems are out there, and they're available right now. It doesn't take a whole bunch of research or analysis to go, man, what do we have now? You know, what can we buy and put in our arsenal? We have them out there. They've been tested, tried, and true, right? So those exist right now. And they're not super expensive.
Jennifer Grover is Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues at GAO. She says one thing that might help the service make better decisions is collecting more data from the field to help inform them on what the Coast Guard realistically needs and what resources it should deploy to meet them.
It's not that the Coast Guard, it's not that they put the bar where it's supposed to be, then they can't reach the bar. The bar needs to be lower, meaning the bar needs to be lower in terms of what their assets can actually do, and that would make them actually look like they're doing their job better and allocating resources correctly.
In terms of the asset allocation process, that's right. They're using assumptions about asset capabilities that aren't realistic with what the assets can actually do.
For example, the service's fast response cutters operated at 2,500 hours per vessel a year, but the Coast Guard originally estimated it needed 3,000 hours. Michelle says those decisions are more complicated than they might seem. The Coast Guard has to make sure it has enough resources to meet the demands of a sudden major weather event or disaster like a hurricane or oil spill. And those are tough to predict.
If I lowered the bar artificially, I'd still have to take into account the maintenance schedules and budgeting and crew training and crew manning that come with that particular asset hour. And then what the guys at small boat station will do, they'll take another cut even below that so they make sure they have enough surge capacity to come along at the end of the fiscal year. And regrettably, the end of the fiscal year is July, August, and September, which is the height of hurricane season. And you've got to have some surge capacity. You can't budget every single hour.
Despite some of those complications, the service told GAO it plans to incorporate more input from the field next fiscal year. In Washington, Nicola Grisco, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.